For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
All right, Paul, our last topic apparently resonated. It was an accidental topic, but we were reading off the Penguins bobblehead schedule this year, which is the most incredible bobblehead schedule I've ever seen. Mario, Yager, Hornquist, Talbot, and Kessel. That'd make a pretty good power play. Certainly better than the one the Penguins actually have, right?
Yes.
Slightly.
So that led to bobblehead talk and memorabilia talk.
Right.
And apparently we have some text. Listen, when I was a kid, I didn't know any better. When I got that pirate autographed baseball from 1979 and I called in to PBS, whatever it was, and I bid and I got it, people thought I was nuts for using it, and they still do. But why wouldn't I? Why wouldn't I? I had no concept that, oh, this is valuable. This is something you can have as a showpiece in a room. No. I want the ball with the autographs of Willie Stargell, Dave Parker, Tim Foley, Rennie Stennett, Manny Sanguian, Omar Marino, Bill Robinson, Lee Lacy, Steve Nicosia, Ed Ott, John Candelaria, Grant Jackson, Kent Tekulve, Jim Bibby, Don Robinson, Chuck Tanner, and everybody else on it. Give me that and let me go out and play some ball.
Yeah.
I don't care if the signatures get ruined.
You still have the ball?
Somewhere. Yeah, my mom saved everything. Unfortunately, she saved it all.
It might be worth more because you can claim that it was a game-used ball.
Exactly. It was.
Your game, but it was
your game, right. It was a game-used ball.
Tell us some of the texting reaction. Brooke Pryor coming up with Steeler thoughts very shortly here.
Some people saying it's rapid fire, random topic event, nothing planned, off the cup, practically everyone can relate to. Could be done for the rest of the show. Other people also say, is the show going to start anytime soon?
That's pretty good.
With respect to what?
Is the show going to start anytime soon? So other people commenting about the Wiz Khalifa bobbleheads and other bobbleheads. We talked about how one guy was mad about the Wiz Khalifa bobblehead. Somebody else said, Limits is 100% right. My wife and I stood in line at PNC on Kutch's bobblehead day. We were going in and saw at least 10 people walk in and right out. It was 150 degrees that day. And of course, they ran out about 10 to 12 people ahead of us.
That just
makes me so irate.
So between the morning show, us, the PM guys, and Donnie, whenever he's on at night.
Yeah.
I would estimate that in a given week, that's somewhere in the neighborhood of 70 to 80 hours of this station is committed to local programming. Is that correct?
Yeah, especially.
And then once there's no Pirates, right? It's going to be 80. It'll be, actually 5 a.m. till 10:30 p.m.
And
what
even,
is that?
Even Saturday that's, when Pomp comes on and Fanny from Butler calls.
So 5 a.m.
or George
to 10:30 p.m. is what? 12 to 5 and then another, what, 5 and a half. So seven.
Fanny and Butler is joining us right now. What's up, Fanny?
Yes. Yeah. Anyway, 17 and a half hours. Hear me
out
here.
Let me put my wooden teeth in so you can understand me better.
Here we go.
All right, that's all.
All right. 34, 68. So really 85 to 90 hours, right, from Monday through Friday. And then, like you said, we probably have another, 12 to 14 hours during the weekend.
Yeah.
So we're talking about maybe 100 to 105 hours of local programming, right?
Yeah.
So when we swerve off the road for a little bit and talk about something a little offbeat, I'm going to go out on a limb and say it doesn't really hurt our ability to talk about the Steelers, the Pirates, the damn Penguins.
I know. Plus, we already talked. We led the show with Cam Hayward. Well, after my golf addiction, with Cam Hayward.
We've been talking about the Steelers and the Pirates for 6 months.
I'm hoping to avoid the Pirates as much as possible at the moment.
My point is, I love these people who act like because you take 5 or 10 minutes and go a little bit off topic, or we're talking about something like bobbleheads or whatever, they act like, talk about the Steelers. Because we don't do that enough. We don't talk about the Steelers enough. We got to talk about the Steelers. All you got to do is terrible tile. Talk about the Steelers. I remember there was one guy that I went off on.
Poor Shelty.
Way back in the day, Bob in Latrobe. He was a, you got to talk about the Steelers guy.
Yeah.
And so I was like, okay, Bob, how about this, Bob? Bob in Latrobe, how about this? I went on like this rant. It was epic rant. Little did I know that John Burton heard it. And John does a pretty good impression of me.
Yeah, me too.
And he had so much fun with that. And every so often, I'll still get a text from John Burton that says, Bob in Latrobe. Hey, Bob, you there, Bob?
Is that on file anywhere back there? The Bob in Latrobe rant, by any chance?
That was back when I was doing nights, so that's a long time ago.
Well, here's the thing, though. We pretty much exhausted the Cam Hayward topic. I have a hard time believing that anyone disagrees with it, because there's nothing guaranteed beyond this season. They reduced added money for themselves, cap space, in other words, for this season, and nothing's guaranteed afterward. There's nothing else to talk about. Once you realize what the actual stipulations are in that contract, it's a non-topic, practically. Yeah. There's nothing guaranteed beyond this season, period. Might be a topic if he has a below average year. Could get a little ugly like it did with Hines and Troy and Ben and lots of people. But that's not happening right now. I suppose the next topic off of that, Paul, would be Freiermuth. He's the last guy standing. Yeah. Do you think he'll get a deal? Should he get a deal? I'm not about to make him one of the highest paid tight ends in football. No, thank you. Let's see what he does.
Well, I mean, it depends on how much it's going to cost. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to make him the highest paid or anywhere close to the highest paid tight end. But if they get him for a good number, I mean, I think he's a good player. I don't necessarily have a problem.
I just see, and I was taking this deep dive. I sent you guys the link to Pro Football Focus. Again, like him or hate him, they did a deep dive on every roster. There's guys all over the league like Pat Freiermuth. All over the league, anywhere you look.
Yeah.
There's clones of him and guys who are better than him. And I think he's a pretty good player. But if you don't have Kelsey or Kittle or Andrews or people like that, then what are we doing here? What kind of money does he want, like you asked?
Right.
You know, like Dalton Schultz makes $12 million a year. Noah Fant makes $10.5 million. That's where I would put, that's the category I would put Freiermuth. Right. You want to give him a 3-year, $30 million deal, I guess, except I think I can approximate what he does with a rookie, honestly. And if he outdoes that this year, then great.
Right.
That's fantastic. I think he's a talented guy who could, but he's also a below-average blocker for a team that wants to run the ball. I don't know. I don't see any pressing need. Like, if we don't get Freiermuth in here locked up, he could leave. Okay, then let him leave. I think we'll survive. How do you feel?
Yeah, I mean, I just have to see what the deal is. I think it's similar to Cam Hayward, though. in that I would probably say, okay, we've got a very tight end friendly offense. You know, do we want to lock him up before he, if he puts up big numbers, before he puts up big numbers?
I mean, if he were to turn into Travis Kelce this year, then you still have the hammer of the franchise tag if you really wanted to keep him. You know what I mean?
Right. I think he's a good player, though. I mean, I think...
As tight ends go, I would put him more as an average player, honestly.
Yeah.
That's where I would put him. You know what I mean? You go up and down the list here. I think the kid in Buffalo is better than him. Kincaid.
Yeah. Well, what I'm saying is, though, I'm having a hard time objecting to it or saying it's great because I don't see what the numbers are.
Yeah.
I got to see what the numbers are. You know, if it's a deal that is somewhere, you know, outside of, I don't know, if it puts him like in the top, say, 10, 12 tight ends in salary, I'm okay with that.
There's some really good tight ends out there, like borderline great players, and he's not one of them. PFF has him 15th. That sounds about right to me. So you have the elite ones are Kittle, right? Kittle, Kelce,
right.
Andrews, Hawkinson's a great player, Laporta. Those are your top five. And that sounds about right to me. Then you have Dallas Goedert, who's been very consistent for them. Kyle Pitts, who I think hasn't had a quarterback yet. Trey McBride, Njoku is a good player. Evan Ingram, that rounds out your top 10. And then you have the guy... from the Bears, Cowboys, Ferguson, Kincaid from the Bills, who has a chance to be a star, Brock Bowers, who has a chance to be a star, and then Freiermuth. That's about right, Paul. So yeah. If they want to pay him in the top 15, I'd be okay with that, but I'm not going much higher, and he may think he should be much higher.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the reality of that. To me, one thing I will say, I was listening to the morning show, and I guess people were texting in, and they were saying that he gets hurt too much. And Adam Crowley, went on a rant about how his injury history is, he played 16 games his first 2 years, 16-16. Last year was the first year he was injured. Well, that's not quite true. The guy's had at least three documented concussions since he's been in the NFL. And I'm not saying, and he had at least one, I think maybe even two, that were documented when he was at Penn State. He dropped a little bit in the draft because he was injured a lot at Penn State.
Yeah.
And so, yes, he's played a number of games for the Steelers, but I don't think it's unfair to say, do you want to sign a guy to a large deal when he has this guy's injury history? Going back, his last 2 years or whatever at Penn State. I mean, you're talking about, season injuries. And when you talk about concussion, you just kind of don't know when it's going to, when it's going to surface or whatever.
Yeah, what's become clear to me, Paul, is that the 2022 21 draft just wasn't what it should have been. They got functional players, but they made luxury picks at the top. They did. And I was all for Najee Harris because I thought he was going to be a special kind of player.
Yeah.
So to me, you only take a running back in the first round if he's that. They took Najee in the first round and Freiermuth in the second round. They desperately needed a center. And I know it's easy to do this because everybody else passed on Creed Humphrey. Creed Humphrey is now the best center in football,
right,
or one of two, and just signed a monster deal. They drafted a running back and a tight end, 1-2.
Yeah.
And they failed. And then they got Kendrick Green and then Dan Moore.
And they thought that in getting Kendrick Green, a guy who hadn't played hardly any center, a guy who didn't really want to play center, a guy who was undersized.
Right.
They thought that was going to be, that was one of those things where that draft, I thought they tried to get too cute. And they tried really hard to, show how smart they are versus everybody else.
They had some really, really good players up front. I mean, Eagles wound up with Landon Dickerson out of that draft. The Steelers, that should have been probably the year they started to really rebuild that line, and not with Kendrick Green and Dan Moore.
If you go,
it was not a great draft.
With the benefit of, okay, we've seen 3 years of these guys. Grade Najee Harris as a first-round pick.
Considering the position that he plays, a C+. You?
C+. Freiermuth is a second-round pick.
To me, that's a C-.
C-?
Yeah, he's only a tight end, and he's just an average one at that.
Green is a third-round pick. F.
F-, yeah.
Dan Moore is a fourth-round pick. You can't be an F because, I mean, you get a fourth-round pick that's been a starter for a couple of years.
I know.
I don't know if he's been a good starter, though. I'd give that a C.
For the fourth round to get a guy, yeah, like that, considering where he was taken, I'd give him a C, but let me throw you a number while I'm giving him a C. This is from PFF, biggest weakness opening the season for the Steelers, they say, much like Paul's column at the Post-Gazette today, I think it was, or yesterday?
Yesterday.
The Steelers' offensive line is just ticketed to struggle here early. Listen to this. Starting left tackle Dan Moore allowed a whopping 56 pressures last season, 8 of which were converted into sacks, resulting in a 42.1 pass blocking grade, making the offensive line the Steelers' top priority in the draft. The Dan Moore narrative around here is crazy. And it gets perpetuated by some people, I think, in the local media, to be honest with you. He's just not good. He's not good. They keep drafting left tackles, and he's still starting. What is happening here, Paul? What is happening?
I get it. I absolutely agree with it, and I get it. Let's go on. Buddy Johnson is a fourth-round pick.
I've forgotten who he is. F. Mm-hmm.
Isaiah Loudermilk is a fifth-round pick.
Looking like an F.
Quincy Roche is F. a sixth-round pick. Trey Norwood is a seventh-round pick.
He had promise for a little while. Where is Trey Norwood right now? Is he still – what's he doing? I liked him at first.
Trey Norwood is still no. He hasn't been with the Steelers for 2 years.
He's with the Birmingham Stallions of the United Football League. I give that one an F.
All right, and then, of course, bringing up the rear, punter Presley Harvin III. Seventh round pick.
See, that's a draft where you made almost no difference on your team.
None.
You really didn't. You got a couple of pretty good players at their positions in Najee and Freiermuth, but nothing that nobody else has. That's the thing.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We were first on the pizza today, which is rare. Usually the vultures get to it before we do. They line up pizzas right outside our little studio here. From Slice on Broadway. We got it very fresh and hot. They get it from their place to our place. I don't know how they do it. I realize there's little heating boxes and things like that. I mean, it was piping hot today, Limits.
So good. I'm still indulging in the pizza like Ron would be during the middle of the show.
Ron used to eat during, still eat during the interviews and things like that. Do you remember that, Paul? He would be chewing and eating while talking to somebody. It was incredible. What kind did you get, Limits?
I got a pepperoni and a piece of plain.
Paul?
Last week I had a, what was the show I did where I had some food. Where was I at?
Where was he?
Was it Nemical? And everybody kept saying, we hear Paul eating on the air right now. He's eating chips during the interview.
Wait, where was that? Where were we at?
No, that did happen. You were eating a bag of chips. Yeah.
And you could just hear the ruffling.
Who got to go to Nemical?
No, we weren't at Nemical.
No, I'm sorry. Where was it?
Oh, was that the Treasure?
Oh, was it Living Treasures?
Living Treasures, yeah.
That was awesome.
Well, here was the thing.
That was awesome.
At Living Treasures, we had all those animals and all that stuff, which was pretty cool. It was a great place. What a great day. But they brought us the food, right? We were sitting outside, and there was just sun beating down, and it was hot. So what I didn't want to happen was the food to get nasty and spoiled, basically. So I was like, I got to eat this, because if I sit here and don't eat it, it's going to get nasty.
Yeah, it's going to rot.
You know what I mean? You know how the sun, when the sun is just baking like that. So I just said, I'm going to try and do that. So, yeah, I did eat on the air that day. I was Ron Cook that day.
Ron Cook for a day.
People were like, texting in. We're more interested in what Paul is eating for lunch.
We should all be Ron for a day. Let's move on here to our friend Brooke Pryor. She is on the Sullivan Super Service Fan Hotline, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Brooke, welcome to the show. We appreciate you taking the time today. I'm a little bit flummoxed why anybody would be upset with the Cam Hayward extension. When I first saw it, my first thought was, wait a second. Omar Khan just caved in to Cam, but then I realized there's no guarantees after year one. So it's almost, to me, a non-story in the end if there's nothing guaranteed after this year. Your thoughts?
I think you're exactly right. First of all, I'm really sad that I am not eating anything right now. I'm standing out in the sun. I personally am spoiling, but I am eating no food. So
you should come in.
Lunch is really soon. I'm going to, now that I hear you guys have hot pizza.
If you have time on Wednesdays, come on in the studio. We'll have you in here and we'll eat pizza.
We'll eat pizza with you.
Sold. Well, you know what? Cam Hayward can buy a lot of pizza this year, but you're right. The next 2 years after this year, there's no guaranteed money. I mean, I think that this is a deal. You're right. It is a non-story in a lot of ways. This is a deal that the Steelers did right by Cam Hayward by giving him the security, basically saying, like, hey, if you play well this year, you're not going to have to hit the free agent market next year. I think that this gives them security, the flexibility to say, hey, if he gets hurt again, if he doesn't perform the way that we thought he would, they can kind of cut bait and say, hey, man, it might be time to retire after this year without having a lot of dead cap on the books in the next 2 years. And for Cam Hayward, it gives him the peace of mind. Like, hey, he wants to be a Steeler as long as he can. He's now got through the 2026 season, as long as he keeps, you know, he says he wants to prove people wrong and, you know, change people's opinions, things like that. If he does that this year, great. He's got this contract that's waiting on him the next 2 years. He can play that out and then, you know, go retire as a one helmet guy. So I think that really, yeah, this was something I think the Steelers said, hey, you've been the example of a Steeler that we've, you know, we point to you as a guy that you're not going to create a distraction. You're going to be a leader in the locker room. You've been here a long time. You're doing everything the right way. This was kind of a reward to that end.
Having said that, if he plays well, he's got a pretty nice payday coming, for especially for a guy his age. So my next question is, do you think that this deal would have been done anyway if Ayuk comes here, or no?
I think so. I think that they would have figured out a way to make it all work, especially because of how the guarantees were going. I mean, maybe this is something where Ayuk's deal would have been backloaded while Cam's is front-loaded. I mean, the dirty little secret in the NFL is that you can work the cap however you need to if you want to sign all the players. The cap is very malleable. There are ways to massage it. There are ways to get every guy that you want under the cap. I mean, can you go out and guarantee $100 million to every guy every year? No, but there are ways around it. And so I think that because this deal, it has new money, but it's not new guaranteed money, I think that it ends up getting done in the long run regardless. And, I mean, the Steelers really like doing things when their back's up against the wall. They got a deadline. They know week one we're going to shut it down. And I think this is around the same time that Cam got his last deal done that had significantly more money. So I kind of feel like this was a long time coming.
The the next one, I guess, is we keep hearing about is Freiermuth. Is it necessary to give him one?
You know, I'm less optimistic that one gets done. I've talked to some people who say it's not looking like it. Of course, things can always change, and they can change really quickly. We know that's the case with Brandon Ayuk, where it felt like one minute he was coming here, one minute he was staying in San Francisco. Oh, maybe he's getting traded to the Browns. But I get the sense that Pat Freiermuth is less of a priority, clearly, because Cam Hayward got done first. But I think that with Pat, he fits on paper in Arthur Smith's offense. Arthur Smith wants to use tight ends, especially when they don't have a strong number two receiver. Pat Freiermuth, I think, checks a lot of boxes. But he also was, I think, kind of hurt by the fact that he was in Matt Canada's offense the last 2 years. He also dealt with some soft tissue injuries. His numbers aren't what they could be to justify a longer extension and a bigger payday. And so I can absolutely see a scenario where the Steelers say, you know what, we do really like you. We kind of want to see how this year goes in this new offense, see if you can get through this without any more concussions, without any more soft tissue injuries, and then we'll revisit before free agency officially opens. Of course, that is a gamble, because if he does play well this year, that number is going to go up, and he and his team could say, you know what, I think we want to hit free agency, see what other teams around the league can offer us, because you didn't want to do the deal with us before the season. But I think I'm 50-50 on that one gets done. It's not a sure thing by any means.
50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Brooke Pryor of ESPN, you can read her stuff, great stuff, at ESPN.com. She's on the Sullivan Super Service Fan Hotline, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years as well. Okay, Brooke, the Steelers told the world, getting back to the whole wide receiver situation, they told the world, we think we need another big-time receiver, and we're willing to lay out upwards of $30 million a year to get one. You can't put that toothpaste back in the tube. That's everybody knows it now. So, is there still a chance to land a guy like that this season, let's say at the trade deadline? Devontae Adams is a name that keeps coming up. If the Raiders go south, he might be available at the deadline. Like, do they still have that on their minds? What are they going to do about this receiver situation? Is their situation in any way adequate right now behind George Pickens?
You know, I think that they would certainly not close the door on those discussions, especially as they get closer to the trade deadline and they get a chance to see what this team looks like and what this offense looks like in the regular season with Russell Wilson at quarterback, with the offensive line the way that it is. I think that a lot of questions are going to be answered here in the first couple weeks. And because of that, I think that some things may shake loose in terms of the wide receiver market, in terms of the Steelers' interest in getting another deal done. I think that Van Jefferson has been really steady. I think it was very purposeful of Tom Lynch, who specifically mentioned him and Scotty Miller by name in his press conference yesterday, because they, to me, have been pleasant surprises throughout training camp. But just because you're a pleasant surprise in Latrobe doesn't necessarily mean that translates over to the regular season. And that's kind of where I am with Van Jefferson. I think he's been a really solid receiver. He's a good veteran guy. I think that he's not making dumb plays. He's not making the mistakes that you can see out of some younger boomer bust type guys. But does that mean that he's the number two receiver? Does that mean that the team would be comfortable with him stepping into number one if, God forbid, George Pickens got hurt? That I don't know. And so I think that they're not going to close the door or, you know, close their eyes of looking at who else could be available in that wide receiver market. But, you know, as far as them saying we feel comfortable with the guys we have now, I mean, that's what you have to say, right? I mean, you don't want to go into week one saying, well, I don't really think that we have all the guys that we want to have in this group, but, you know, it is what it is. We're just going to roll them out there and see what happens. Like, that is not a way to instill confidence in your group.
He did basically say yesterday, he said back in so many words, back in the spring, I thought this group sucked, but I told them after that, oh, forget about that. You guys are actually pretty good, while we were trying to go out and get Ayuk. So it's been a very interesting situation. Paul?
Yeah, I think what Joe and I have been talking about is because of the offensive line. This is a team early in the season that's going to have to play sort of the way we watched them play last year, where their offense was ugly and their defense had to make plays. I think, am I wrong here, Brooke, when I say I think people are going to be a little disappointed that think that, you know, they've solved all the issues now that Matt Canada's gone?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's fair. I think that just subtracting the offensive coordinator and adding a new guy in Arthur Smith does not automatically, you know, put a giant Band-Aid over this and everything's fixed and it's great and all that rainbows and sunshine. I think that you're right. Because of these offensive line injuries, it's not going to be pretty at first. I don't think it's going to be a complete 180 that we felt last year between this perfect preseason and then just an absolute drubbing by the 49ers. I don't think it's going to be anything like that. First of all, it helps that they're playing the Falcons and not the 49ers. But the Falcons have added some pretty significant defensive pieces that I think are going to, you know, be an issue for the Steelers, for this offensive line that, you know, they said they wanted Troy Faotanu to be at right tackle. Well, Faotanu ended up missing a lot of the preseason and really important parts of camp because of that knee sprain. So now you've still got Broderick Jones out there. The plan was supposed to be to move Broderick Jones to left tackle during camp. That never really happened. So it kind of feels like the Steelers missed some really crucial formative time in gelling this offensive line together in camp and in preseason, largely because of things outside of their control. But now when Faotanu is healthy, now you kind of are stuck in an awkward situation of, well, do you move Broderick to left and take Dan Moore out of the starting lineup when, no, Dan Moore hasn't been a top five tackle in the NFL, but he hasn't been a bottom five or 10 guy. He's been pretty steady. Do you take out a known quantity to move the guy in that you think will be the future of that position, but you didn't give him many reps in the preseason and in training camp at that left tackle spot? Plus, now you've got Isaac Seumalo hurt. You're putting Spencer Anderson in there. I'm less concerned with how that guard spot adapts to Seumalo's absence and more with the tackles, especially because while Russ is, I think, more mobile than some quarterbacks in the NFL, he's not as mobile as Justin Fields. This is when I think you wish that you had Justin Fields' legs back there to kind of mitigate some of the issues you might have in protection with those tackles.
This football talk presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile. You can get tons of benefits. Still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. And fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. Visit Sun Chevy Washington Road, McMurray at sunchevy.com. High of 80 today with sunny skies. Paul, may I engage Brooke in a game of free association?
You sure can.
All right, Brooke. You get five words or less, and even one-word answers are very much welcome here. Are you ready for a series of questions?
Absolutely. Let's do it.
Over under Justin Fields 2.5 touches in this game, assuming, you know, Russ stays healthy, all that.
Ooh. Over.
Good. I'm glad to hear that. I'm a big give the ball to Fields guy. Who gets more touches in this game, Warren or Najee?
Najee.
Who gets the second most wide receiver targets behind Pickens?
Ooh, I'm going to go Van Jefferson.
Russell Wilson is going to be great, good, average, or bad this season?
Average.
Cam Hayward is going to be great, good, average, or bad this season?
Good.
I agree with that one. It's a field goal game right now. Who are you picking in this game, and by how many points?
I'm going to go Steelers by a field goal. I think it's going to be a close one.
In this particular game, Broderick Jones will be great, good, average, or bad?
Average.
The Steelers' win total will be?
Ooh. I'm going to go 9.
Where will they finish in the AFC North?
Third.
Will they make the playoffs?
Yes.
Thank you, Brooke. I have no further questions. I hope you can join us from time to time here. Your stuff is
absolutely
great. Love having you on.
Thanks for having me, guys. Enjoy that pizza.
Thank you.
Well, thank you.
That's Brooke Pryor.
Yeah,
9 wins. That means they'll sneak into the playoffs again, she says, with third place finish 9 wins.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.